Good morning to everyone. Just about 11:15, we'll be starting today's class in about 2 minutes or so. If you're listening to this as a recorded session, there'll be a gap of time for about a minute or so, 2 minutes or so, until the friends call in, and then we start the class. Once you hear the audio feed, just type in audio OK at the bottom of the screen. That confirms for us that you're picking up the audio feed properly. Thank you. Jews. I'm not sure if it applies because there's the Gemara says that Noach can only study that which he's following, or that which, even if whether it's the seven Noahide laws or whether it's additional laws that he takes on. But what I was studying, we're going further with the sexual laws, and this is about after Noahide converts. So I'm not really sure yet. I'll have to look into it to see if that's something we can take up in the class, but. We could do one or two other things, and you see, my consideration was also like this: is that it's interesting. You have Noah that converts, and then there's the laws concerning who he can have intercourse with. So that straddles also Gentiles. So now you have on one half of the equation, you have. The convert, and the other half you have the Gentile, which would apply. So I'm not sure really how to go. It's an interesting question.
Yeah, and let me add a piece to that. In going into the part about what someone would do after conversion, does that also... a Noahide's allowed to take on any commandment that they wish, with certain exceptions, as we know.
Right.
So would that discussion... give people additional understanding of a commandment that they can take on voluntarily.
You mean to say that could they study it in consideration for another commandment, you mean?
Yeah.
In that respect. Yeah, if they're truly entertaining that, if a person is truly entertaining that the possibility of conversion, and it's a realistic thing, so then, of course, they
study it just because then they would have the understanding of a commandment if they wish to take that on, even though they're not considering conversion.
No, because then that's not applying to them. If conversion is not applying to them because they're not converting, so then how could they study that area?
Well, okay, so that raises then, I guess, a broader question. If a Noahide's allowed to take on any commandment that they wish, again, with known exceptions.
Right.
you would have to know what the commandment is about and study it before you took it on.
Yeah. So you're saying that the studying would creep.
Because that's perhaps not a commandment that devolves directly upon the Noahide.
What's that? Which one?
A bit of a chicken and egg thing. In other words, if I want to take on X commandment, then one could argue, well, you're not allowed to study it because that's not a commandment that devolves upon you. But if I'm interested in taking it on, I would need to study it in order to understand it.
Right. I mean, but I think conversion is something which is not such a black hole. That's something which, you know, I think a person can understand what that entails. He sees what a Jew does. So to study, there would have to be some, reality to the fact that, you know, hey, let's not really consider converting to go further. So you're right, it seems to be that in order to entertain the acceptance of an additional command, there has to be the ability to study first before I can even say, will I do it? That's the chicken and egg thing you're saying. I can't say I'm going to change and take on this additional command unless I know what it is first. So I have to have some semblance of what this command entails before I can do it. True.
But the part you're talking about specifically sounds like then relates to conversion.
Yeah, because this is about conversion. It's about the laws that will pertain to somebody after they convert.
I see.
So it could be it is all right. I'm not sure yet. It just struck me this morning with no time to prepare for something else. I mean, I have some other things we could discuss, but it was just, I said, you know, 1 minute here, you know. You get so excited about something and you want to share it, then you have to, you know, just check it in terms of, is this the, appropriate material for, whatever class you're giving, so.
Yeah. Is the area one that a person could decide to take on even if they weren't converted?
Come again?
Is the area that you had explored this morning one that a person could choose to take on as a Noahide even if they weren't choosing to convert?
No.
Oh.
It's only about who you can marry after you convert.
Oh, I see.
it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's a theoretical thing on top of that, which even compounds it. Because I think it was either Rabbi Mann or Rabbi Chait, or maybe Rabbi Mann quoting Rabbi Chait, that was another isser, is just to theorize. It's the same thing. If you're not taking it on, so just to study the theories behind the law is also a problem.
Yeah.
So,
Can I ask a question along that subject line?
Yeah, sure.
Which I think might be germane to a number of Noahides, and that is, if a Noahide is married to another Gentile, and they choose to convert, but the spouse does not wish to, does that then immediately put them in a place where they would have to get divorced?
That's a good question. I didn't study that area. I was just looking at something similar to that. Let me just see. Again, that's, I'm just trying to think. If because that would apply to you. That you could answer, because then you're asking from the side of a Gentile how that affects you.
Right.
You want to know the law pertaining yourself. I would assume, I'll take a look right now, but I'll assume just off the cuff that the person who just converted is not Jewish, and they can't marry somebody who's not Jewish. So it seemed to be a problem. Let me just see if the Rambam says that. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see why that should be different than just, a Gentile marrying a Jew. One thing he says is if you're married while a Gentile, you're married to one of the prohibited partners. So let's say a sister. Let's say a Gentile married a sister, right? So that's prohibited. But let's say both of those people, meaning this couple, who were both sister and brother, got married to each other, so now they're husband and wife. So if they both convert, then you do not separate them. That's the Rambam. Interesting thing, I don't understand this one. He says that a convert, would be permitted with the relatives of the father. I mean, once he converts. Then I don't understand how that can be, because he's converted them.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to make sense.
Right. I mean, there's a lot here. Yeah, here's a lot on this. It's not just a simple thing. Let me see here. Why he would be able to still marry a relative of his father. He's the only one that converted. So his father's relatives are going to be non-Jews. No, no.
I guess here's one other corollary question.
Yeah?
Could, I think I know the answer, but just to confirm, could a Jewish person marry a non-Jewish person if a non-Jewish person commits to follow all of the Torah commandments?
I don't see why he could. I mean, the person didn't convert yet to Judaism.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so, you know, maybe we'll take up a question. Actually, I was in shul yesterday. My friend Lewis was just looking at the next week's parsha, Shoftim. And, of course, like Rabbi Chait said, all areas that have to do with perfection, you know, we could discuss, we could learn. So, let's see. When you take a look at it's 16:19, Deuteronomy 16:19. Brief pasuk, brief verse, but interesting. Interesting thought problem, interesting solution. And again, the parsha, the whole parsha of Shoftim starts off about putting up officers of the law that would make sure that the Torah is upheld in all the gates. And it says the first thing is that you shouldn't distort justice, and you shouldn't recognize reputations. You also should not take a bribe. Because a bribe, now look at the reason why you can't take a bribe. Because a bribe will blind the eyes of the wise, and it will confound the words of the righteous. So what is that message? Do not take a bribe. All right, and the first thing it says, of course, is there shouldn't be any distortion as the general heading. Lo, so you see how the verse works in terms of categories. It first gives you the broad category of not distorting justice. Now, how can you distort justice? Either by recognizing people, and the commentaries talk about that you should, let's say there's a dispute between a rich man and a poor man, so you shouldn't try to favor the rich man in order to embarrass him in the courtroom. Even if you can go over to him later and say, listen, really you were guilty, but I didn't want to embarrass you, so give the money privately to the poor guy, because you were really wrong in this case. You can't do that. Okay. So that would be considered recognizing faces. Or the opposite, you shouldn't, like, you know, just say, yeah, you'll penalize the poor guy because, you know, what's it to him? Or I'll favor the poor guy because he needs the money. Any type of a distortion when it's not based on the facts. That would be distortion. So there's many different ways. It's probably an endless, you know, list of ways that you can distort. But the first thing is that you shouldn't distort justice. One way is by recognizing people. Another is, so there is where you're recognizing an individual. Another case is, the Torah says, where you're taking a bribe. Interesting comment. I believe it says here, Shochad. It's not here, but it's probably another place in the Chumash where I think it's Rashi. It says, you shouldn't take a bribe even to pronounce the case justfully. Interesting type of a comment. Let's see if it's over here.
Would that be a situation where, let's say, the right way is to fine for the plaintiff, and someone gives you a bribe to fine for the plaintiff?
Yeah. The guy says to you here, like, let's say, when the litigant just says to you, I want you to really make sure this case turns out right, justly. Here's $1,000 to make sure that you're really on the ball. Once that happens, you can understand, now, unconsciously or even consciously, there's going to be a certain amount of indebtedness you feel right away. Somebody just, you just took money from somebody. You are now a recipient of a gift has a distorted view now. It slants his view somewhat.
Can I then ask a corollary question on that?
Yeah, sure.
Are you allowed to do that in commerce? For example, a company's trying to get you to buy a certain thing, and so they send you a free gift in the mail. And, of course, that creates that sense of indebtedness, which would then cause you to want to support them or do business with them or whatever.
Yeah, if you're being paid to be objective in your job to make decisions about vendors, and one of the vendors does this, so then it would apply to you equally. You would not be able to make it. Rashi says on this that from when you receive the bribe, it is impossible that you should not lean your heart towards him in order to incline towards his merit. It's impossible, it says. That means the emotions have been affected.
Well, if a particular group wants me to give them money as charity, let's say.
Right.
And so they send me a free book. And they say, we hope that you enjoy this, and we hope that you will support our cause. Okay.
Well, if you've already decided in the past, you made an assessment that they're suitable, so that wouldn't affect it because your decision was made already. If you haven't, and now is the first time you're hearing about them, now you're going to be, you know, slanted. What you may want to do is ask somebody who you trust to decide. Maybe ask a rabbi to make the decision for you. And don't tell him, well, of course, you know, he didn't get the money, you got it. See, if you feel that that's skewing your view, and again, if we want to be, you know, brutally honest, yeah, this is only talking about judges. So we could say, listen, it's not going to apply in your own case when you want to make a decision. There's no real violation over here. If you feel that you can still clearly, you know, think about a very simple assessment of the worthwhile nature of this organization, you know,